learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts breeding program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Final hour too, because John White is standing by. Brad Cox will follow. We've got a ton of things to do with Brad as well. And Tell Me Something Good is really a perfect play-in because John got told something good. And John, congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Steve. It's very meaningful for me. I found out actually about a week ago that I was on the ballot for the Washington Racing Hall of Fame. Brand new category, the media category. There were four of us on the ballot in that category. And then I found out that I have been voted into the Washington Racing Hall of Fame. Tremendous honor for me, particularly as much as I love Washington, where I'm from. And of course, we have the Long Acres drinking game that because I talk so much about Long Acres and racing in Washington. And I only wish my father was still alive for this. He's the one that lit the fuse for me to become such a huge racing fan and make it my entire life. Bought my first racing form in 1966 and started in this game in 1974. So I've got 50 years of working in racing under my belt. And this is like really the thrill of my entire career, without question. I'll be going into the 2024 class with Flag the Loon, who goes in as a filly or bear. And she won the 1984 Grade 1 Ramona Handicap at Del Mar. I was there that day covering that race for the racing form.
Wow.
Her trainer at that time was Lori Anderson, who was at my wedding when I married Tracy at the Santa Anita Church in 1983. And to show you how big a win that was for the Washington bred Flag de Lune, she defeated a filly by the name of Royal Heroine.
Wow.
That may ring a bell. In her next start, Royal Heroine won the Breeders' Cup Mile, the first Breeders' Cup Mile, beating the boys trained by John Gosden. And Flag de Lune, early in her career, she had won the Long Acres Lassie Stakes as the two-year-old at Long Acres. So she, to me, is really one of those just ideal inductees into the Washington Hall of Fame because she was successful in Washington, but then was a Grade One winner at Del Mar, defeating a future Breeders' Cup winner. Also in this 2024 class, jockey Basil Frazier, I saw him ride a million times. He's one of the best bullring riders I ever saw. He dominated at Exhibition Park, but he also had tremendous success at Long Acres. He won the 1974 Long Acres Mile on the only Nevada bred to win the Long Acres Mile, Times Rush, who came flying from way back like a Zenyatta or a Silky Sullivan and won in a photo finish that day. And Basil Frazier, just a class guy. I knew him real well. Unfortunately, he passed away last year. And he really wanted to be in the Hall of Fame. So it's kind of bad timing. And incidentally, and kind of coincidentally, I was born and raised in Spokane, Washington, and Basil Frazier was born in Spokane, Washington. So two Spokane natives going into the Washington Racing Hall of Fame this year. And then going in for the lifetime achievement is Junior Coffey. Now, he was a very successful football player.
Sure.
He was a star for the University of Washington Huskies. He played for Vince Lombardi in the Green Bay Packers. And he became a very respected and successful trainer, not only at Long Acres and in the Northwest, but in Northern California. He won a lot of races at Bay Meadows. And he's another just, I was a nice guy. I really liked him, a class guy. And it's a thrill for me to go in with Basil Frazier, Flag de Lune, and Junior Coffey. And it's really an honor for me to go in to join my all-time favorite horse, Turbulator. You know, that means just the world to me to go into this Hall of Fame where he is. But also such great Washington breds as Chinook Pass, of course, an Eclipse Award winner. Trooper 7, an outstanding Washington bred, two-time Long Acres Mile winner, and a horse that was good enough to run second to Sham Santa Anita. His father, Table Run, was good enough to run second to Sham at Santa Anita, and Table Run would sire Trooper 7. Sir William, who won a Santa Anita Derby and defeated Round Table, so the Washington bred Sir William, and the Washington bred Travel Orb, who was raised in a chicken coop in Oregon and would go on to win the Californian in the 60s at Hollywood Park and defeat Native Diver. And jockeys in the Hall of Fame, like Gary Stevens, of course, he's in the National Hall of Fame, as is Russell Bays, but they're in the Washington Racing Hall of Fame, along with Gary Bays, a five-time Long Acres Mile winner. Trainers like Charlie Whittingham is in the Washington Racing Hall of Fame. And one of the guys I've known for decades, Jim Penny, who was on your show a number of times, and won the Long Acres Mile a record five times. Kathy Walsh, one of the most successful female trainers, really, of all time in the Northwest, but actually in the country. And Wesley Ward, also in the Washington Racing Hall of Fame. But then also such lifetime achievement inductees are in this Racing Hall of Fame, like Joe Gottstein, who I never had the chance to meet. I started working in racing after he had passed away, but I did interview his widow in the cottage behind the tote board at Long Acres for my second column I ever wrote for the Racing Forum in 1975. And Joe Gottstein's the man who built Long Acres, and Ron Crockett and Jack Hodge, two men, they were the key men for the building of Emerald Downs to continue racing in the Seattle area. Ralph Dacca, who was a giant in the breeding industry. He worked for the Racing Forum. He worked in Kentucky, and then he became the general manager and president of the Washington Breeders, and a guy I knew very well. Robert Geller, who was the first announcer at Emerald Downs,
sure,
for many, many years. now is calling the races at Woodbine. He's in this Hall of Fame. And then another one that means the world to me is Pete Peterson, because he was one of my many mentors I've had in this game. He's one of only two Eclipse Award winning racing officials, the other being King Dangerfield. And Pete Peterson started his career in the Pacific Northwest and then became one of the most respected stewards in the history of racing. And he's in this Racing Hall of Fame. And of course, Karen and Mickey Taylor, who of course co-owned Seattle Slough, the great Seattle Slough. And Seattle Slough kind of comes up because he's the grandsire of Mineshaft. So we've been talking about Mineshaft today, and Mineshaft is by AP Indy, Lenny Shulman's all-time favorite horse. AP Indy, a tremendous horse in his own right, but this goes back to Seattle Slough. So like I say, just a huge, huge thrill.
Well, Rich Migliore is still driving back from Belmont, and he just sent a note to John. He wanted me to congratulate you from him as well, and I'm sure that the congratulations and the acknowledgments will come rolling in as people get a chance, either if they're listening live or if they hear the replay or catch it on the archive later. Really, I'm looking at this. I just got the press release, and it really is a heady list from the jocks, the trainers, the other sets of connections, and media makes a lot of sense. And I did see that Joe Withey was added, lifetime achievement, which is appropriate. This is Junior Coffee. I had forgotten and about Junior, but he just died in the last couple of years, I think.
Yeah, 2021. And I'm glad you mentioned Joe Withey, because he's been an absolute institution in Washington racing, broadcasting and public relations and with the press, and a good friend of mine for many, many years. We've had many good dinners talking racing stories over some wine. And he actually was the one that called me with the news. And
nice.
I picked up the phone and he said, "This is a really good call." So that's something I'll never forget, just the way he kind of told me that I had been voted in. And I'll tell you, I kind of was expecting to not get voted in, because one of the other three on the ballot was Mark Kaufman, who is another giant in Washington.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
And in fact, the press box at Emerald Downs is named the Mark Kaufman press box. And, you know, he was a big on the national scene with the turf publicists.
Yep.
And he's another guy. I knew him before he became the publicity director at Longacres. And you'd appreciate this, Steve. When I was calling charts for the Racing Forum early in my career in the 1970s, Mark Kaufman, as I say, before he became the publicity director there, he was doing radio where he would call the stakes race for a radio station, the Sunday stakes race. And he would be standing not too far from me on the roof at Longacres, and we would be talking as they came on the track, you know, and even before the horses came on the track. But we would start testing each other with Longacres mile trivia. And I'll never forget the one he stumped me on. He said, "Who's the best horse that ran in the Longacres mile and didn't win it?" And of course, my answer immediately was Turbulator. But he said, "Well, not counting him, because I'd say you're right, but not counting him, who else?" And I said, "Gee, I don't know what." He said, "Find." And Find was a Vanderbilt horse, was a big horse nationally.
Yeah.
And he had run in the Longacres mile late in his career and didn't win it. So that shows you what an impression that made on me, that he brought that up. And it's stayed with me, you know, like for 50 years later. So it's just huge. You know, I mean, like I say, it means so much to me being a Washingtonian. And as you say, Steve, when you look at who all is in this Hall of Fame, it's just very humbling for me to, I mean, it's just a tremendous thrill.
Delighted for you. And you mentioned Mark Hoffman, and anybody that goes to Symposium every year, University of Arizona, you know Mark's name, of course, the Mark Kaufman workshop that they conduct, which is always a one of the real popular sessions. A lot of times it's a moderated discussion with various, you know, personalities. It's been they've done it with race callers in recent years. There was the University of Arizona alum panel with Todd Pletcher and Bob Baffert. That was a big one. The Mark Kaufman session is always, they've had other jocks in. It's always one of the most anticipated sessions at Symposium. Very cool, John. Well done. Congratulations.
Well, by the way, you know, one of the things that I have found to be just so captivating about this sport ever since I bought my first racing form in 1966, and that is a story like what we're seeing with Senior Buscador. I mean,
yeah.
I just, to see that cowboy hat in the winner's circle after the race in that country was just, brought a big smile to my face. And listen, Todd Fincher, to me, this guy, I've been, and I've said it on your show, so I'm not saying it, I'm not coming to the party late. I've been saying what a terrific trainer this guy is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I couldn't be more happier for the Peacock family and just Junior Alvaro. It's just such a great story. And, you know, like I say, that's the type of story that, you know, to me is part of what makes this game so great.
Yeah, 100%. This was one of those outcomes that was easy to cheer. 100% right. So speaking of some outcomes to cheer, let's slip in some Santa Anita results. And I rather than start with Linda's Gift, which was really you know, we have talked about her. And in fact, Richard Mandela was on with us last week. And, you know, she was an easy winner at 6-5, essentially. Got to talk about this four-year-old that, speaking of the Pacific Northwest, Mark Glatt brought back Judge Miller. And this is one of those stories that you think about a horse like this and you wonder what he could have, you know, accomplished as a three-year-old had he been, you know, ready for the three-year-old, you know, season and the classic trail. This is a Curlin, of course, out of Cavorting. That was a $550,000 yearling, Muir Hut, Stone Street bred, of course, because Cavorting, and now follows up the maiden win on opening day with a 105 buyer performance that was just astounding, and Glatt was taken aback by it. I mean, he thought that Judge Miller would, you know, come back and win. He didn't expect him to win off by a dozen lengths. This is exciting. This is a horse that you know, everybody's crying for handicap division horses. Here's a late arrival on the scene, Judge Miller.
Well, we're on the same page because it's interesting. A lot of times I kind of make a list of horses that we might talk about, and I put him at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like you say, I think he was the story really at Santa Anita for the week. And Brad Free, you know, who does such a great job for the racing form and as a frequent guest on your show, here in his typical good work, he pointed out that this 105 buyer ties for the highest so far this year. And boy, when you consider this is a full brother to Clairiere, and the way he won that race, I mean, my goodness, it's just seems like the sky is the limit here. And Mark Glatt himself has been a huge story at the Santa Anita meet. His win percentage so high, like in the 35-36 range. That's very tough to do on this circuit, I can tell you. And, of course, I go way back to his dad, Ron Glatt, who once held the record for most victories at a Playfair race course meet in Spokane. And was a very successful trainer himself at Long Acres. And Mark Platt has really put together quite an operation and is just, I'm so proud of him, you know, as for what he is, has accomplished. But not only that, what Mark Platt, I think, still is going to accomplish. And boy, you know, this is just another kind of bullet in his holster that he's, there's a lot of excitement based on what we saw from this guy in this victory. I mean, boy, it was impressive. And I give you credit. You're on top of the game, your game, to bring him up first, because I think he was the one to talk about first.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll look forward to going to catch up with Mark. And there's a couple of people who have been not necessarily, you know, scoring a bunch of stake wins, but have been winning and having horses run well. And Mark is certainly one of them. And this is fun. You know, debuted. Actually ran in, ran into a buzzsaw at Del Mar. Not too often do you debut with a 92 buyer, and get beat. But that Matanza Creek beat him, in the debut in November. And then he came back on opening day, as mentioned, in that 7-furlong maiden race, that, saw him score a 94 buyer. And I got to look at the sheets too. We'll see what, we'll maybe talk about him with Jeff Franklin later in the week, too, and see what kind of a number. But this is, I mean, a 105 puts him, you know, right in elite company. Steve Anderson, actually, Steve Anderson wrote about this. Or actually, it was Brad. It's Brad Free that wrote about it. Judge Miller turns heads with 11-length win, equals year's top buyer, 105. So, as mentioned, Linda's Gift, she's obviously... as we discussed with Richard Mandela,
Well, and talk about another barn that is firing on all cylinders, and we've been talking about that basically for the last several weeks.
Yep.
As Hall of Famer Mandela is just, you know, and I was glad that in your interview with him, you brought up the point: is this maybe the best shed role you had? And then, well, he talked about back in his days with Pleasantly Perfect and so forth. So, which shows you. You know, and by the way, Richard Mandela, a Long Acres Mile winner, Bad and Big, his first really big horse, won the Long Acres Mile back in the 1970s with Bill Shoemaker riding. And that was a huge day at Long Acres to have the legendary Shoemaker show up and win the biggest race in the Pacific Northwest. So, but Linda's Gift is just really has blossomed for Mandela, like we see so many horses. And once again, it makes me kind of sad. Why? Because she's by Arrogate. And man, to have lost Arrogate, it just keeps happening so often that we see these Arrogates winning. And you just go like, wow, why did we have to have the, you know, the rug pulled out from under this with his early death? I mean, it's just sad.
Yeah, no doubt. And there's still a few more to come, but... no doubt. There's no telling what he might have wrought out there with an extended stud career. John, how about a quick survey of the 3-year-old front? Your thoughts on what we saw from Timberlake on the 3-year-old seasonal debut?
I thought that was very solid. I thought that was an excellent way to kick off his 3-year-old campaign. I'll tell you something else, though. I'm very, very bullish on Forever Young. And yes, he only won in a photo, but I'm going to tell you, Bookham Dano is one tough miler type horse. I got to tell you, he's the real deal. And I'm not sure even like a Sierra Leone or a Timberlake would have been catching Bookham Dano. And it, as you pointed out, Steve, not at any point did it look like Forever Young was going to win that race.
No.
And I sure came away impressed with Todd Fincher's thoughts on that race and how he feels that there's still tremendous upside for this Forever Young. So obviously the next race is very important for him, the UAE Derby or Derby, you know, and then we've got the San Felipe coming up this week. Unfortunately, we've got rain in the forecast for Friday night and Saturday. Right now, an 80% chance Friday night, 80% Saturday. So I'm crossing my fingers. But unfortunately, these people have been very accurate in their weather forecasts these days. And so, boy, it just would be such a setback if we have to deal with wet weather. And right now, fortunately, we're far enough out that that could change. But and I'm hoping it does, because this is a Santa Anita Handicap Week. And, of course, the Big Cap, one of the highlights of the entire year in Southern California. And we've got the razor-sharp Newgrange heading up that field, and should be a good field for the Big Cap this year.
Well, and you mentioned the San Felipe. I saw about a half a dozen that were heading that way. Baffert with a trio, Windstock, Wind Me Up, and Imagination. John Sheriff's got McVeigh, who I think might be a maiden. And then Mandela's got Scatify, and Sadler's considering Topalo. So there's the six pack so far that I've seen mentioned by either Steve Anderson or Brad.
Well, and of course, we're looking forward to the Fountain of Youth. That's going to be a really good race, and you will be in attendance for that. And then the Gotham's going to be interesting in New York with a big field there. So it's going to be we're really getting heating up on the Derby Trail.
No doubt. And John, how far away are you? You've been putting out the lists, aren't you?
As far as my rankings?
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I moved Forever Young to the top of my list before the Saudi Derby, and I'm not going to move him off of that race. Don't forget, Dermal Sadagaki ran third in the Saudi Derby last year before he went to Dubai and won the UAE Derby so impressively. So, and this was by far, there's only been five of these Saudi Derbies, but this was by far the fastest, which tells you again just how good Bookham Dano ran in defeat.
Yeah.
So, but Sierra Leone, I have second on my list. I mean, how can you not be impressed with what we've seen from him? I just think he is special. But this Forever Young, to me, that trainer, the guy that could win two Breeders' Cups at Del Mar, he won the Saudi Cup last year. This guy just wins these races. This guy's kind of, to me, almost like the Charlie Whittingham of Japan. And that's one of the reasons I'm so intrigued by that colt. And I just can't help but think that we're going to see a Japanese horse one of these years win the Kentucky Derby, because they're winning everything else on the world stage.
Well, we'll let that first one beat us.
Hey, and I understand that too. And believe me, I've been in that camp. But you know what is kind of a turning point for me? Because I was totally against Dermal Sadagaki in the Derby last year.
Yeah.
But as good as he ran in the Breeders' Cup Classic off a six-month layoff,
yeah,
that tells me the people like Randy Moss and so many others that loved Dermal in the Kentucky Derby, I don't think they were off the mark there. It just, he didn't win it. But like you say, listen, I had $1,000 bet on Thunder Snow in the Doggo. That wasn't Japan, but that was the UAE Derby. And all of a sudden, he turns into a bucking bronco and then goes on to win two Dubai World Cups, which shows I didn't exactly have a bad horse in that Kentucky Derby. But that was $1,000 down the drain. He didn't even get to the finish line the first time.
Finish line, yeah, exactly. I was going to say he got all the way back to the paddock. That was as far as he got. That was his trip. John, before we go, I'm taking a stab. Did you hear a score from last night in the Holy Angels jockey game?
Oh, I did not. However, one of the proud achievements of my entire racing career is I coached the jockeys 1 year and we won. So I have a 1,000 win percentage in that. Thankfully, I did make a key coaching move in that particular game. We were down at halftime and I told James Correll, a Long Acres Mile winning jockey, I told him, let's go for a full court press. And our press absolutely throttled those school kids, and we rallied and won going away. So one of the highlights of my life, winning, being the winning coach for one of those.
Was throttling high school kids. Nice. Yeah. It's very nice, John.
Actually, like middle school kids.
You better be careful. They're going to take you out of the Hall of Fame before you get into it. That's unbelievable. Well, last night, the Holy Angels game, and this has been going on for years. I don't know if – is Kurt Hoover – I think Kurt Hoover retired from coaching the Jocks.
I think he did, too, because he was the guy that took over for me. So
yeah, Kurt, for years, Kurt used to – and when DeSormo was playing regularly in that game, he'd fill it up. I mean, DeSormo never saw a shot he didn't like. And
listen, I played in a rec league with DeSormo, and in fact, another proud moment for me, we were tied late in the game, and what you just said about DeSormo, he's not shy on shooting, but we had the ball and the score is tied, and he's telling everybody to throw the ball to me.
Nice.
And that's like one of the highest compliments I ever got, because I almost fainted, and they did throw it to me. I got fouled and went to the line and absolutely sank both free throws, and we won the game.
I love it. That's a famous – that those games at Santa Anita. Gary Young, too, in there, right? And the number of Brad Free, another power forward. There's some big men that tromped up and down, but I'll get the score in the Holy Angels game. Somebody'll send it. John, congratulations again. The Washington Racing Hall of Fame honor. Very, very nice.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Like I say, a great thrill.
John White, everybody. Post time, John, on your Twitter. Let's go to Brad Cox, and we got a busy lineup here with Brad. He had, beside Timberlake and Chop Chop and Saudi Crown, there's probably another dozen things that I got to talk about. Brad Cox, you're in the United States, right? We've got your undivided attention for 20 minutes.
You got me.
All right.
I'm back.
Nice. You know what? It worked out fine, actually, that we – we can't get to you until now. First of all, let's talk about Timberlake and a very polished and professional, you know, not too much, not too little, probably a perfect comebacker on Saturday in the Rebel.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought he performed very well. Obviously, they would get the job done, ship up there, settled well. I thought that was important that he, you know, didn't get too keyed up early and handled everything going into the first turn in good order and up the backside, and Christian put him in a great spot and he responded well.
What, give us a feel, you know, in terms of getting ready for this and, you know, we're going to talk about some other horses who didn't necessarily, you know, make this intermediate step as well. You know, you go back obviously to the Breeders' Cup and we had a few people when they analyzed this race that, you know, that said that was a disappointment in the juvenile, and you know, coming away from it, what were your thoughts over the last couple of months?
Yeah, the juvenile was an odd race because this horse, I think he, you know, he paired some really good numbers between the Champagne and with the Champagne and the Breeders' Cup. And if you'd have told me he would have come back and run the number in the Breeders' Cup that he ran in the Champagne, and you had told me that he would end up fourth, I wouldn't have believed it. I thought his number would have been good enough to win the juvenile, but obviously, you know, the winner was freaky good that day. And, you know, we give our horse a little time off after the Breeders' Cup, and he's kind of come back and been a very good horse. His last two works at the Fairgrounds really kind of showed that he was back and he was ready to perform well. There was a little bit of a question mark as he was going to take to the two turns. I think in the Breeders' Cup he was a little ranked going into the first turn. I'm not certain that was the difference in winning or losing, but I do know at that level of racing you have to take it all in and you can't be pulling too early.
Well, the way this unfolded, it really did feel, you know, then when the number came back, too. It just felt like this was a perfect starting point. I know you've already suggested, you know, perhaps the Arkansas Derby straight back or a trip to Keeneland for the Bluegrass. It's 48 hours since those comments. Any clarity or, you know, how when do you make a decision like that?
I like to make my decisions really late. I like to kind of see, you know, sometimes you got to read the defense before you can call an offensive play. So I'll just kind of wait and we'll talk it over with Elliott and Trout, come up with the game plan. But overall, you know, he did come out of the race really, really well. He is shipping back to the fairgrounds tomorrow. And, you know, I think, you know, we'll probably end up in a grade one, whether that be the Arkansas Derby or the Bluegrass. And, you know, obviously, you know, trying to get to the Kentucky Derby, but it'd be nice to go ahead and add a grade one to his resume and only, you know, help him moving forward in regards to becoming a stallion.
Well, nice comebacker. And I got to say, too, I mean, the Christian Torres' portion of this, any thoughts about is he locked in at this point, or is that also a?
I'm going to use a Dwayne Lucas saying, we date jocks, we're not married to any of them. So that's what we're going with right now. Now Christian's done a great job. He's done a great job. He did a great job on catching Freedom, ever so mischievous Timberlake. We're very happy with the job he's done. But, you know, ultimately a lot of that comes down to, you know, where the owner's what the owner's comfortable with and who they'd like to line up with. I've always said it's horse racing, not jockey racing. I'm a big believer in that. Some people are going to argue with me over that, but it's just the way I see it. And a lot of it comes down to the comfort zone with what the owner wants. But, you know, my job is to prepare the horse. We'll talk it over with the owner. We'll come up with a plan when we have to.
Well, the plan starts off just perfectly. 4-5, Timberlake starts his 3-year-old campaign with the Rebel win, and we'll look either, you know, for an Arkansas Derby performance or a pretty heady potential confrontation at the Bluegrass with Sierra Leone. That would be pretty cool too. You mentioned ownership, of course, Windstar here, and this is a horse that was bred by Vinnie Viola, St. Elias, and, you know, kind of a sweet spot, $350,000 purchase, Timberlake out of the Keeneland sale. Let's touch on West Omaha. Let's go to the Honeybee. I had Keith Asmussen because it was too sweet of a story, winning his first graded stake, a little bit at your expense and West Omaha's.
Yeah, she just got bounced around a little bit at the start, kind of scraped up a little bit, kind of in a tight spot throughout. I thought she ran well to finish up the way she did, but just was never really in a comfortable rhythm throughout, kind of in between horses the whole way. Once again, you know, I think the 5-horse came out on her a little bit, kind of hit her a little bit. But overall, you know, I think it was a pie. Obviously, you know, she was a short price and we didn't get the result we wanted or we were looking for. But overall, I do think she ran well. I think we'll probably look at the fantasy with her there at Oakland. It gives her plenty of time. We don't really want to rush her back to the fairgrounds and ship her again, but she did come out of it in good order, and you know, I think as long as we can get a little cleaner trip, we'll be a little more effective next time.
Well, and I'm just looking, not that we're all that worried about points right now, but she's got to be, let's see, is she mid pack in here? Where is she? Why not? She should be up high, no? Yeah, there she is, 40. Yeah, she's in good shape for the Oaks.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of just, you know, training her up, keeping her healthy, happy, et cetera. You got to be pleased. You know, I know that you hit the exact in the Wintergreen, but I thought that was a nice performance by Chop Chop, and you got to be happy to try to get her, you know, get her going again.
Yeah, no, for sure. She's been a little frustrating in regards to, you know, her 3-year-old season was definitely not what we were expecting, a little more. We gave her some time off last spring, and she's come back in good order. She's obviously has taken to that synthetic surface in a big way. She's a state winner on turf, a state winner on synthetic, and nearly a grade one winner on the dirt. So, you know, she is a filly that just has shown up and I wouldn't say been the most consistent filly, but she's really in good form right now. And hopefully we can keep her rolling the rest of the season. But she's definitely paying her way and, you know, got her back on the right track.
Nice. And Flashy Gem behind her.
Yeah. She's a, you know, filly that's had some black tights, trying to that breakthrough state win. She's getting close and not certain she'll stay in training or be bred. She may have one more start in her, but she's, once again, has some black type, and hopefully, you know, she gets another run to get some bigger stake in her.
Before we talk about Tarifa and Comparative from the last couple of weeks, Saudi Crown ran a game race.
Yeah, super pleased with the effort. I mean, you couldn't ask for more. Probably running on a track that's doesn't really play to speed, and obviously, it seemed like being out in the middle of the track seemed to be a little bit better portion of the track. So, you know, he overcame some things. Big race, very proud of him. Shipping over there, he put in a big work for the week before over there, and appeared as if he liked the track and was moving well over it. And just happy, and we actually sent him to Dubai this morning. We're going to give him a shot. Looking at get off in a mile right now, shorten him up a little bit, and see if that can get him to the winner's circle. But you know, couldn't be any happier with the performance. Big effort.
Nice. Well, and shortening up might prove very tough to reel in going a mile, right?
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I think that might be exactly what he wants to do. And you know, we'll find out here in 4 or 5 weeks.
Excellent. All right. A quick survey of Tarifa and Comparative, the nice wins at Fairgrounds and back at Oaklawn.
Yeah, Tarifa stepped up. I mean, you know, she's a big run there, second two-turn race there at the Fairgrounds, and really responded well. Big win. Obviously, the Rachel's been a key race in trying to get to the Kentucky Oaks and being successful in the Kentucky Oaks. So excited about her, and you know, hopefully one more run before the Oaks. And I think we're looking at either the Fairgrounds Oaks or the Ashland will be the two logical spots moving forward. And hopefully we'll get her to the Oaks in good order.
How about Comparative?
Tough filly, really. You know, we always liked this filly early on. She's had some bad luck. Just tough trips. I think once Jocks fell out, come off of her right out of the gate. But she's really put it all together. She responded from her time away. She needed a break after the Black Hat Susan. She's come back. She's been, you know, hitting on all cylinders. I think she's rattled off 4 wins since then. And, you know, she's able to jump on a plane, go to Oaklawn, win. She was training at Belmont, and just brought her down to the Fairgrounds. We're looking at either the Beholder Mile or back to Oaklawn for the Azari. She's doing well, and hopefully she can take another step forward in her next run.
Interesting. All right. A couple of horses that didn't necessarily win, but have got plenty of quality about them. Cornishman is going to break a maiden. at the same time, he may bankrupt the people that bet him off the board, who were so convinced about him. What does it take to get him across?
Well, you can't give a Todd Pletcher horse a head start like he gave that horse last time.
Yeah.
There at the half mile pole last time, I thought he's running. He's going to run on, but you know. Todd's obviously very tough to reel in, and we just couldn't get to him that day. So he's a good colt. I do believe he's a very, very good colt, very talented horse. And I think there's a maiden race in the middle of March that we're hoping will go and should go there along on the dirt at the Fairgrounds when we get his maiden broke. We'll see. I mean, you know, he's bred to be horse that's going to get better with distance and time, and he came out of that run in good order, and he received another good figure. So, he'll get there. He'll get there. I have a lot of confidence in the horse, and you know, excited about his future.
Does he take sort of a first mission style Classic Trail, if he can break the maiden and get to the Preakness?
Yeah. Maybe like a Lexington Preakness. That's something that would, I've thought about that. Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you've thought about that. So it's definitely give us he showed us enough ability to keep the dream alive.
Well, you might not get Todd in Baltimore, but you will get Bob Baffert.
Yeah.
Todd doesn't go to Baltimore. Bob has no choice. Talk about Nash, and speaking of running into Todd, it's not too often a horse runs the kind of race that he ran in that allowance and gets beat. Tuscan Sky, being the pursuer in that particular scenario, I mean it's. It's probably harder on Nash than it is on Tuscan Sky, but they both ran very well.
No, they did. And I think, I walked out of there kind of hanging my head after the race, but, Flavian said, man, this horse was really running. I mean, he was running all. He's got beat by, a better horse on that day. And I think this takeaway from the race is that the gray horse appears to be very, very good. I thought his race at Aqueduct, I went back and watched a replay prior to race there at the fairgrounds, and he was very impressive going three quarters, and looked like a horse that really wanted more ground, and he got it there at fairgrounds, and he responded well. So look, I think Nash is still a very good horse, and helps he's galloped this morning's first race I've seen him in since last Thursday, but I love the way he trained this morning and probably getting back on the work tab this weekend, and hopefully look at one of these Derby preps. Not sure which one, but I think we'll give him one more chance, possibly in one of these Derby preps, and go from there.
Well, wouldn't the Louisiana Derby be the first choice? No.
It's in play. It's in play. We've talked about that. Maybe even moving him over to the synthetic surface of Turfway is an option. We'll see. Everything's in play right now.
All right. Speaking of Louisiana Derby, Catching Freedom, there was nothing wrong with that effort either.
No, I thought it was a very good run. And he's one that he bounced out of it in good order. He'll get back on the work tab this weekend. And, he's one that will either look at the Louisiana Derby, Arkansas Derby. He's one that we might take back to Arkansas. He had the success there in the Smarty Jones, and
it's true.
And it's something that, looking at Timberlake for the race as well. But we'll let them kind of sort themselves out, and we're not sure where we're going to land with him right now.
Interesting, and that also gives you an extra week if you go to Arkansas with him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he obviously likes the track and everything, and he shipped up from the fairgrounds for the Smarty Jones. So. Kind of be doing exactly what we did there in January.
Very good. All right. So that's the best known of the 3-year-olds. Let's talk about the ones that are entered already for this weekend. And we'll start with the Battaglia, where you've got this trio, Gettysburg Address, the Constitution for Windstar and Sienna, drew the rail and gets Corrales for the Battaglia. Then we go down to Fidget. This is a Calumet that they bought at Keeneland, more than ready. So the synthetic certainly makes plenty of sense. Gettysburg Address is making a synthetic debut. And then the third party involved is Encino, the Godolphin homebred, the Nyquist that broke the maiden at Turfway going the mile and a 16th. Pretty nice group, but John Enos has been very tough to beat at Turfway this winter. And here is the epic ride, the Blame Colt, that probably goes favored.
Yeah, no, it's a good race. Big prep for the Jeff Ruby, and these three colts are doing well. I think a little bit of the unknown with Fidget. Obviously, the pedigree suggests he'll like the synthetic, and Encino's trained very, very well. He was able to get his name broke last time. Probably should have won first time out, didn't get away as well as he needed to, but overall, probably is only a good thing that he was able to come back and run against maidens again and get some more experience. But he's done very, very well. He's been working really well the morning, so excited about him as well. And then Gettysburg, one that's been not quite as impressive in the afternoons in a few of these runs as we were hoping. A little bit of a head scratcher in this last one, but we'd missed some time there at Oak Lawn and stuff with some bad weather, and didn't really have him on the, you know, a steady training schedule. And he's back training really well, and hopefully he can breakthrough performance for him on Saturday evening.
A trio in the Battaglia moving toward the Ruby, and they will draw on Wednesday in New York for the Gotham, which is going to have a 14-horse field. That seems locked in. There's even a 15th horse, a maiden of Diodoro's, Give Me Liberty. That would be an AE if all 14 enter. And you've got four of them, Just a Touch, Air Cav, Bergen, Lightline, and there's real excitement about Just a Touch's stake debut.
Yeah, I mean, we're taking some swings for sure. all four horses are doing well. Air Cav's going to have to step up and show that he belongs. Bergen's, he's done nothing wrong. I mean, he's stepped up all three of his runs. He's been very good. I like him. I like him a one-turn mile. I think it could be his thing. He obviously won going three quarters last time and did it the right way and acted as if he was going to stretch a bit. So, he's an exciting prospect. And Whiteline, he's been training well. He's obviously shipped back to Belmont. He's been training there ever since his last run. And I'm not certain the one-turn mile is his thing, but there's 50 points on the line, so we'll see how it goes. And then obviously this colt down here at the fairgrounds will fly up to Belmont tomorrow. But he acts like a good colt. He's very talented, does everything easy enough in the mornings, gives us a lot of confidence. And it's a big ask, got to overcome a large field. It's a very big ask, but if he's as good as we're hoping, we'll see how it goes.
Well, his dam, Touching Beauty, she won the Comely over the surface.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think she won first time out as well at Saratoga as a 2-year-old. I think Jimmy Jerkins trained her, but she was pretty good filly. Yeah.
Well, there's the group that is – and all you're going to enter all four?
That's the plan right now. Yeah, we got to make it to Wednesday, but as of – Monday right now, that's the plan.
Very good. I want to ask you about backing up a little bit away from Stakes Company with a serious pair that people have been tracking. And this comes on Saturday at Oak Lawn in the 8th, where Ethan Energy and Awesome Road both are entered. Give us some thoughts about, why you're doing it this way and what you're looking for.
Oh, we're just trying to, get these colts. These are two colts that have had their opportunity at the stake level and just didn't really train or run as well as we were hoping. And this is an opportunity for them to take a step back, and then hopefully we see what we hope to see. Then we can jump back into maybe some of these derby preps, whether it be a Bluegrass or a Lexington or Jeff Ruby. So, these are two that we needed to step back, and as opposed to stepping forward, they've had their opportunity at the graded stake level once again and just didn't quite respond as well as we hoped, and hopefully we can get them back on the right track.
All right. Well, make a plan. You would think if one of them, I imagine, if one or both wins, you would think that they'd get their derby shot in a final derby prep.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Let's ask about a couple of maidens. Brad Cox with us for a couple more minutes, and I told you we were going to have a full docket for him. I do see that the Curlin Philly Silk for Red, White, and Blue Racing comes back for a third career start on Wednesday at Turfway in the 5th.
Yeah, yes, she's I tell you, her first run was good. Her second run went quite as well as we hoped. That was during that weather where we didn't have a real consistent training schedule and just maybe not quite been as good as we needed her. But she's been steady enough leading up to this one. Hopefully she can run up like she did the first time out, and that should hopefully get her there.
How about Chasing Summer at Fairgrounds? This is a May foal, so taking some time with this one, 3-year-old. Uncle Mo was mentioned out of an Awesome Again mare and ran okay in the debut.
Yeah, she ran okay. We're going to stretch her out. She's actually a half to accelerate stallion.
Nice.
Breeders' Cup winner.
Sure.
She's got a big pedigree, and hopefully we can get her maiden broke. But yeah, that's a little bit of changing up with her a little bit, putting her on the grass and see if she takes to it or not.
How about Barbara, Tina, and Impel that are going to try the Cincinnati Trophy to try to get their way to the Bourbonnette Oaks?
Yeah, but Barbara Tina's doing well. She's there training. I actually have Impel at the fairgrounds, and she obviously landed on the AE, so I'm probably not going to ship her unless I get some info over the next few days. I'm looking for a dirt race for her as well. I do think she could handle the synthetic. She did a good bit of her training on the synthetic and showed she took to it last summer and fall. But she's a nice filly. We had to back off of her just a little bit after she broke her maiden, and we got her back on the right track now. I'm excited about getting her started.
Outstanding. Brad, I could obviously ask about another 20, but that's enough. That was the lightning round. Well done.
There you go.
Good luck. Continued success. We will see you. Let's see. Where will we see you next? We will see you.
Derby week.
Well, no, I'll see you before then. I'll see you at Fairgrounds for.
That'll work.
Yep. I'll see you for Louisiana Derby. And you coming to OBS?
I'll be there. OBS March.
We'll see you both places.
We'll see you there. All right, Steve.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a good day. Bye.
Brad Cox, everybody, and Timberlake, and much, much more. Chop Chop, and so on and so forth. Thanks to John Lindo, who has informed us it's tonight. Holy Angels versus the Jocks at LaSalle High School at 7 o'clock tonight. If you've never been, it's a hoot. We're still trying to get the answer on who's coaching the Jocks, because let's face it, they're uncoachable. let's be honest. Thanks a lot to Brad Cox, John White, Keith Asmussen, KJ Asmussen, Keith with his first graded stake win, Rich Migliori, and Todd Fincher, Saudi Cup winner. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9 here on SiriusXM. If you missed anything, archive podcast after some post-production work by Case. I'll talk to you in the morning. Good luck, everybody.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
P.A. Brett, I think we've built a brand at this point.
The state of Pennsylvania has the best breeders program in the entire United States.
Angel of Empire wins the Arkansas Derby and wins it clear.
Carabelle in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint.
Pennsylvania and the PHBA have the best state bred program in the country, bar none.
The best Breeders' Awards and Stallion Awards in the country.
If you're racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer bets.